Hey, welcome to Hope City's podcast. We're so excited that you chose to listen to us, and we hope you enjoy today's message.
Well, we're getting ready to wrap up our sermon series on Christmas, and I have loved this series where we've been able to look at how the individual people that the angels came and shared the good news of Jesus with, how it transformed them. So we started with Zechariah and Sarah and how God had spoken to them about a baby, and then we came to Mary and then Joseph, and today we're talking about really one of my favorite groups of people in this whole story is the shepherds, all right? And understanding the shepherds, we've entitled this message, Shepherds and Angels, and understanding what this meant when Jesus, his birth was announced first to the shepherds, it was groundbreaking, okay? If you missed a week in this sermon series, go back and listen to it. What I love about this sermon series is it really shows the human response, how these humans responded when Jesus came along. Listen, we have the same deal today. How do you respond when Jesus comes along and says, hey, I want you to do this. Hey, I want you to step up to the plate. I want you, like, I have a plan for your life. Will you say yes to him? And my prayer is that in 2025, that people at Hope City will continue to say yes. God, whatever you ask me to do, whatever you speak to me to do, I will say yes. Okay? How we respond. These are powerful and challenging themes. As we've looked at these themes, it seems like, what do you do when God's plan looks different than what you expected? How do you respond? What does obedience look like even when it's hard? How do you respond with belief when God calls you to do something big? So many great principles that we need to be reminded of as believers, because our response to God in our lives is so vital. We either say yes or we say no. And my challenge to you is say yes. And our obedience, and really what it boils down to is obedience. Our obedience right away is the key to seeing God's plan play out in our lives. But if we take a moment and we pause and we, like, you know, I always say delayed obedience is disobedience. So when God calls you to do something, step out and do it right away. Don't wait. Don't wait. Don't try to talk yourself out of it. Well, maybe I'm not qualified enough, or maybe I'm not smart enough, or maybe I'm not good enough. Those are all questions that may have went through the shepherds' minds. Because to understand this story, you have to understand who the shepherds were. The shepherds had the job that was the lowest in society. Nobody wanted that job. It was terrible, okay? And so here you are. You've got shepherds, and they are literally the first group of people to know about Jesus' birth, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And when you think of a king being born, you would think the elite of society would hear first. You would think, well, all the people who were much better than, you know, much better than the shepherds would have been the ones that heard first. But Jesus, at that moment, God's plan became very aware. He works with people who are ordinary. Jesus came for the lost. He came for the broken. He came for the people in society that society viewed as the lowest. In fact, that's some of the best work that he does, is when people feel like, man, I couldn't do it on my own. Like, I couldn't do what God is calling me to do. And that's where those shepherds would have been. The message is still true today. Jesus came for the ordinary. He came for everyone. Listen, God can do incredible things through your life and in your life. It doesn't matter where you've come from. Doesn't matter what you've done. Doesn't matter how society looks at you. If you say yes to him, God can do great work. It's all it takes is our yes. All it takes is our yes. It's a message that still is true today. The shepherds had a long and difficult job. And Jesus came to them first. It doesn't matter how society looked at him. The truth was realized the moment the angels made the announcement to the shepherds. When that bright sky lit up, could you imagine? And shepherds worked alone. And can you imagine, they're in the dark of night, and all of a sudden this sky lights up. All of a sudden, the announcement that Jesus had been born. Here's how they responded, because our response is so important. Luke 2:8-14. That night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified. Typically, when people see angels in the Bible, that's their response. They're terrified. But the angel reassured them. Don't be afraid, he said. I bring you good news that you will bring great joy to all the people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in the strips of cloth, lying in a manger. Suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased. This whole story is mind-boggling. King of kings, Lord of lords, being born in a manger. Okay, and I promise you, it's not the cute manger we see on TV or, I mean, it was nasty, all right? And this is where he was born. And the shepherds could have easily said, a manger? Are you kidding me? But they went right away. They're like, man, okay, we're in on this. He was born in a manger. That's how you'll know who Jesus was, because he came for the ordinary. He came for the lost. He came for the broken. He came for the lowest of society. It's one of my favorite stories in the Bible because it makes it so clear that God can use anyone. Throughout this series, we've talked about how people responded to the angel's message. Now let's see how the shepherds responded. I love it. Luke 2, 15 through 20. When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that's happened, which the Lord has told us about. They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was a baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherds' stories were astonished, but Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel told them. There's a couple of very strong themes that emerge from this portion of Scripture. First, and again, I'm going to repeat it, Jesus came for everyone. Don't ever look at somebody and go, well, man, can't believe they're away from Jesus. No, he came for everyone. That's why everyone matters. That's why every person matters. That's why Jesus knows your name and he knows the very hair on your head, because he came for everyone. He came for the lost and the broken. And so when you see people who are away from Jesus, Jesus came for them. It doesn't matter who you are, what your status in society. And I'm going to keep driving this home, because some of you, you don't feel worthy enough. You don't feel like, how could I ever do anything for God because of my past or because of where I am? Or maybe I don't have many talents or whatever it is that God uses in your life to say, hey, I need you to do this. And the enemy comes along and says, well, you're not good enough. Because the moment that the enemy convinces you that you're not good enough, you need to remind him, well, Jesus came for me. And he thought I was good enough. The second theme I see is how the shepherds responded to the angels. How we respond to God's call in our life is so important. How we respond to God's calling in our life will determine what God's able to do with the promises he's giving you. You know, we talked about promises this morning, and the reality of it is that when God gives you a promise, many times God says, if you do this, then I'll do that. But we want it the other way around. We want God to do something without us having to do anything. And that's not how it works, because it's a step of faith. And some of us, we want our path that God's going to take us on. Okay, God, I know every bit of your path, every step that you want me to take, then I'm going to step out. And he just does not work that way. He says, I'll give you the first step. You step out, then I'll give you the second. Then I'll give you the third. Then I give you the fourth, all right? Does that make sense? I mean, because here's the thing. We want it all laid out. Well, God, how's this all going to play out? How's it all going to work? Lord, I'll step out and trust you until I can't necessarily see what's happening next. All he's asking you to do is take the next step. What is that next step he's asking you to take? For the shepherds, it was get off your field and go and see Jesus. Go meet Jesus for the very first time. This moment would forever change the world. This announcement of Jesus' birth to a group of ordinary shepherds in a quiet field on an ordinary night would literally transform the world, and it transforms our lives today. The shepherds' response was amazing. I pray that I would respond to Jesus the way the shepherds did. I want to challenge you in 2025, say yes to Jesus, whatever it is. Let your response be, yes, God, I'll do it. No more excuses. No more holding on to things. God, if you came for me and my answer to you is yes, whatever you ask me to do, I pray that I can respond in the way the shepherds did when Jesus comes. Our response to Jesus can change our world and the world around us. The question I think we need to ask ourselves is, how do I respond when Jesus asks me to do something? How do I respond when Jesus comes along and wants to change my world and move things and shake it up a little bit? It's been the theme throughout Scripture with Zechariah and Elizabeth. How did they respond? For Mary and Joseph, how did they respond when the angel came and said, hey, you're going to be a mom and a dad? How did they respond? It was scary. It was challenging. It was difficult. It would have cost them everything. In spite of those challenges and potential difficulties, every one of these people that Jesus called responded with immediately a yes, with obedience and courage. And guess what? The story of Jesus is still being played out. It's still being written. God is still asking his people to step out and do incredible things for him. And you might go, Pastor, how can I have a calling? I'm not a pastor. You have a calling on your life. Every one of us has something Jesus wants us to do. For some, it might be tomorrow morning when your feet hit the ground, you have a job that you're going to go and you're going to shine Jesus to everybody you meet. Some of you might hate your job. You might be like, oh man, I can't believe that I have to go back to that tomorrow. God has placed you there. You're on a missions field and there's a reason why you're there. So be obedient and do what he's called you to do. The whole story of Jesus' birth is filled with wonder, joy, and profound truths about how God works in our world today, and how we respond to that is still the question. How do we respond? I want to dig into four responses I see with the shepherds that made that I think we can step out. Four things that they did in their lives that we can do in ours when Jesus calls. First of all, they responded immediately. The shepherds said to each other, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that's happened, which the Lord has told us about. They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. This is so interesting to me. They responded immediately. When Jesus calls, most of us will go, okay, God, okay, let me see if I've got time in my schedule. Oh, sorry, there's just no time. I'm too busy. Oh, sorry. Well, let's wait till tomorrow. When Jesus comes and says, I want you to do this, what's our answer? Is it, God, yes, immediately I'll go do it, or am I going to talk myself out of it? Well, God, sorry, I'll respond when my schedule lightens up a little bit. How about we just say yes, and then we figure out the rest? God, yes to you no matter what it looks like. Well, the shepherds could have said, hey, well, you know, what happens if we leave these sheep? Because when you look at those sheep, they were valuable, okay? They left their job. They left those sheep in danger, okay? You might go, well, wow. I mean, they said, God, we're going immediately. Exactly, you take care of that. And he did take care of it. I don't know what happened to those sheep, but I bet not one of them were touched by any wolves. Because when you're about the Father's business, he'll be about your business. Now, I don't know that to be true. Who knows? But I could just guess. We use every excuse in the book to say no to Jesus. And I'm telling you right now, put those excuses away and say, God, whatever you ask me to do in 2025, I'm going to say yes to you. I'm going to say the word immediately. Not tomorrow, not the next week, procrastinators, immediately. God, I got to get it figured out. If I leave the sheep, man, the wolves could get in. Don't worry about any of that stuff. Say yes to God and then let him fix it and fix it for you and get it all figured out. Unfortunately today, a lot of people talk about following Jesus, but there's no action behind it. And I'm challenging you right now. Don't just talk about it. Go do it. Put actions behind it. Not only did the shepherds say yes, but there's another word here that I think really gives you an idea of the urgency. It's this word right here, hurried. Not only did they say yes, but they hurried to be obedient. They hurried to do what Jesus asked them to do. What is Jesus asking you to do, and what do you need to hurry about getting it done? Listen, friends, time is of the essence when it comes to the things of God. We can't put it off when Jesus calls us to do something. Again, I'll remind you, delayed obedience is disobedience. Trust me, you will always be able to talk yourself out of doing something for God. Well, I don't have time. I don't have the resources. I can't give in the bear good fruit offering because I just don't have enough. You will talk yourself out of it in those moments that you give yourself some room to do it. Just go do it. I've learned that. In my life, when Jesus speaks to me, I do it right away. I don't wait because I know that God speaks in that kind of a way. Another important part of this is you have to learn to listen to God's voice in your life. I've talked to believers all the time, and I bet you if I said, how many of you are hearing from God right now or you know God's voice in your life, maybe only 25% of the room would raise their hand. I want that to be 100. You've got to know God's voice. You have to know what he's asking you to do. And sometimes that means you have to slow down and spend some time with him. Don't do all the talking, because also that's the thing in prayer. You could do all the talking and never hear him speak back to you. Let him speak to you. Spend some quiet time. In the next couple weeks where you get to unplug a little bit, spend some quiet time to listen to God. Very rarely does God come with angels in the sky and a heavenly choir to tell you what he's asking you to do. But he does in the very quiet of your room, quiet with him, As you unplug and you spend time with him, he will speak to you. Another way he speaks is in the Bible. For some, we got to get that Bible open, dust off the cover, and get back into it. His word is alive and active. If you're looking for God's direction in your life, get into the word. He'll tell you. How does God speak? He does it through the Bible. He does it through prayer. He does it through other people. He speaks right to your heart. If you aren't hearing God, it's important to stop and say, God, what's breaking that connection? Am I not listening? For some, and I love Oswald Chambers, my utmost for his highest. He talks about this. He says, listen, go back to the last time God spoke to you and see if you were obedient to do what he told you to do. And he likened it to a general. How many times would a general tell his men to do what they, it's one time, right? One time. It's not five times. And God might be silent waiting for you to do what he asked you to do. So go back to the last time he spoke to you and find that out. If you're listening to Jesus, get ready. Get ready. He's going to ask you to do big things. He'll push you out of your comfort zone. Every one of you in this room, you have a calling on your life. God created you for a purpose. He created you to change the atmosphere. He created you to change history. Hearing God is so vital to your spiritual walk. Let God push you out of your comfort zone. He's only going to be able to accomplish what he's called you to do with. You might go, well, man, God's calling me to do something big. How can I do this on my own? I'm not qualified. He doesn't qualify. He'll call you and then give you the tools you need to do what he's asking you to do. So stop looking at what you can't do and what you think you can't do, because with God's help, you can do anything. Key number two, the shepherds found what they were looking for. Sometimes we're like, God, if I step out, are you going to meet me there? 110%. If you step out, I promise you, you'll find what God has told you. When you follow, you respond to the promises Jesus gives you, he will always fulfill the promises that he's spoken in your heart. And listen, Luke 2:16, they hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. They found what God had promised. They found what they were looking for. What an important statement. When you realize that if you'll step out and you'll say yes to Jesus, you're going to find what you're looking for. You're going to find what he promised you. So step out and trust him. It's when we don't step out that we don't find him. When we stay right where we're at. Imagine what they would have missed out on if they wouldn't have responded to Jesus. Here's the thing. They had the opportunity to have a front row seat at the birth of a Savior. Jesus didn't call anybody else. It was the shepherds. The shepherds are the ones that had the front row seat to see Jesus being born. Think about that. And I want to tell you something. Jesus is still doing miracles. He still gives us a front row seat to see miracles. He gives us a front row seat to see the things of God play out in a powerful way. About 10 years ago, I had the opportunity to say yes to Jesus. Jesus called. We had a young boy in our church who fell through the ice. He was dead for over an hour. And his mom walked in and prayed a prayer, Holy Spirit, bring my son back to life. And literally every bit of his body came back to life. He was raised from the dead, in my opinion. It's a Lazarus Day story. He wasn't healed yet. We still had to hold on. We still had to believe. It was a front row seat to see God do incredible miracles. And a boy who literally was said that he would have a 2% chance if he lived overnight, he would be a vegetable for the rest of his life. Every organ in catastrophic failure. A 14-year-old boy sitting there looking at him. We prayed, we believed, and 14 days later, he walked out of the hospital completely healed and completely fine, all clear by all doctors. God still does miracles today, and he wants to give you a front row seat to see his hand and his power in your life if you'll just say yes. Imagine what we miss out on when we don't respond to Jesus in our lives and obediently follow him. When you follow Jesus and you're obedient to what he calls you to do, you can trust that it'll always come through. You'll always find what he promises you. Will you say the word always? Oh, that was weak. Will you say the word always? This is supposed to be the 11:30 service. You guys got to sleep in. Come on. Always. We have to put that word in our mind, because sometimes we wonder, like, God, if I step out and I trust you, will you meet me? And the word has to be always. Always. We can't give any room. And that always doesn't matter what you're seeing right now. It doesn't matter your perspective. As the shepherds, and it's interesting because the shepherds' fear was the first thing that came into their mind. which I don't blame them. Fear is natural. It's a natural response. It's what we do with fear that determines how we're going to respond to Jesus. Imagine the shepherd's fears. The heavens opened up in the dark of that night. An ordinary night turned into something extraordinary, and they got to play a part because they said yes. The angel's message was clear, and they were afraid to begin with, but the angels came and said, don't fear. It's time to rejoice, because what Jesus was coming to do was exchange their fear with joy. Some of us, we need our fear to be exchanged with joy. We need our fear to be exchanged with peace. The shepherds chose to quickly allow that fear to be turned into joy. They didn't hold on to it. Listen, that fear could have paralyzed them. Some of you, you're paralyzed with your fear right now. And you need to allow God to take that fear and to take it away and give you joy. We overcome fear by allowing Jesus to turn it into joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Those are not just pad words. It's how we have to live our lives. Not only did the birth of Jesus turn the shepherds' fear into joy, it also brought them great hope. You cannot let fear paralyze you. If they would have been afraid and paralyzed, it would have kept them from seeing Jesus being born and being a part of this story. Here's what I want you to know. When you trust Jesus, when you follow his plan in your life, he'll never put you to shame. The Bible tells us that. He'll never put you to shame. He'll never put you to shame for trusting in him. He's going to take care of it. Jesus also brought peace to the world. If you need peace, joy, strength, that's what Jesus promises us. But when he calls you, hurry to get it done. Hurry to go and do what he's called you to do. Key number three, the shepherds shared with everyone they knew. This gospel is not something we've been called to hold on to and hide it under a bushel. Jesus says, light it up so the world can see. The shepherds didn't keep this a secret. Luke 2, 17 through 18. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. I imagine they were like, hey, look what happened here. They talked to everyone about it. The Bible says everyone. When Jesus does something in our lives, who do we talk to? Oh, well, I don't want to tell anybody at work. They might think I'm crazy. I don't want to share with my friends what Jesus is doing in my life. I want to tell you something. When Jesus does something in your life, shout it from the rooftop. People around you need to know how good God is. We are not given these miracles and the things that he's done in our lives to hide it under a bushel. We've been given it to shout it from the rooftop. To shout it from the rooftop. Because people need to know today that we serve a God who's alive. We serve a God who's well. We serve a God who keeps his promises. We're not afraid to stand up and share it. You can't be afraid to share what Jesus has done in our lives. We have never been called to keep Jesus a secret. And the way we share it is just tell your story. Just tell your story. I'm sure those shepherds are like, you wouldn't believe it. Like the sky opened up. Like everything just, I mean, like, could you imagine running into those shepherds after that experience? How could the shepherds keep what they just experienced a secret? The shepherd's story was one of obedience and sharing with the world what they experienced. Who do you need to go share the gospel with today? Who do you need to go and share the truth of what Jesus has done in your life? The obedience of the shepherds turned their encounter into a testimony, spreading the good news to others. And we see two truths here. One, encountering Jesus compels action. I want to tell you, when you encounter Jesus, it compels action. So not only the words, but going and doing. And then sharing the gospel starts with a simple, authentic testimony. Just be willing to share your story. Go out and tell people. This Tuesday is a great opportunity. You may not know what even to say to people, but just say, hey, will you come? Come and hear about Jesus. Come and just experience Christmas at Hope City. Take an invite and invite them to come. We'll do the rest. Look at how the obedience of these shepherds affected other people. They were astonished when they heard the story. Key number four, the shepherds glorified and praised God for what he had done. When God does something in your life, don't stop thanking him for it. When God does something, so many times I think we forget to look, and he works in the ordinary, right? So he might do something that seems so ordinary to you, but it's an answer to your prayer, and we miss it. In the ordinary of life, there's not the big angels showing up and singing over you, right? The sky's not opening up. In an ordinary moment, God does something that changes your life. Make sure you stop and say, thanks. Make sure you give him the glory. Make sure you give him the honor. None of this is done on your own. The other thing about this, we can experience Jesus and still go back to the same circumstances we faced. Listen to this, Luke 2:20. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel told them. If you stop and think about this for just a moment, God was not concerned about changing their circumstances as much as he was about changing them. They still had to go back to their lowly job. They still had to go back to the status that they were in society. Sometimes we're praying, God, change my circumstances, and God's saying, no, I want to change you before I change the circumstances. I want to change you. And the circumstances may never change, but if God changes you, you have a different outlook on what's happening. God's promises were fulfilled, and the shepherd's response was glorifying God and praising God, even having to go back to the difficult challenges that they faced. We live in one of the easiest societies in the world. I don't think there's been another society that has it so easy. And we still tell God no. We still tell God no, I'm not going to do it. I'm not, like, it's amazing to me. The shepherds had to go back to all of the difficulties, all of the challenges they faced, and their response was still glorifying and praising God. And the truth of it is, in our difficulties and our challenges, the most important thing we can do is thank God and glorify God for him getting us through it. A heart of gratitude moves God's heart on our behalf. Worship breaks off the worry in our lives. And listen, you're either worrying or you're worshiping. You can't do both. You're either worrying or you're worshiping. You can't do both. And I want to tell you, if you're worshiping your problems more than you're worshiping Jesus, you're going to be in a tough spot. If you respond to God and you follow his direction, but you're complaining and grumbling the whole time, you're going to miss out on what Jesus wants to do in your life. Look at where grumbling and complaining got the Israelites. The Israelites were walking in God's promises. They were still grumbling and complaining, and look where it got them. They missed the promised land. So you can be walking out God's promises in your life, but as you grumble and complain, it shuts out God's ability to work in your life. The greatest testimony you can have is overcoming and experiencing Jesus even in the midst of the difficulties and the challenges. I always hear the word that people say, well, God can never give you more than you can handle. That's a lie. It's not true. He gives you a lot more than you can handle because he wants you to rely on him to get you through it. If you can handle it on your own, you don't need God. And that's what the shepherds, I mean, Jesus showed up in such a major way. As we close today, as we celebrate Christmas, let's remember the shepherds, ordinary people invited into God's extraordinary plan. Their story reminds us that God's glory is for the humble, his peace is for the broken, and his joy and hope is for all. This Christmas, like the shepherds, let's respond to Jesus quickly. Let's say yes to him as we get ready to go into 2025. God, I say yes to you, whatever you're calling me to do. I'm also praying that in 2025, the calling that God has had on your life would be renewed and refreshed. That you'd know exactly what God is calling you to do, and every one of us has a calling. In the midst of following God's plan, let's allow his peace, his joy, his hope, his strength to fill our hearts to overflowing. That's always a question, like what's flowing out of your heart? Because that gives you a picture of what Jesus needs to fill your heart with. Let your heart overflow to the world around you, even if you have to go back to challenging circumstances. It all starts with a yes, and then immediately doing what God calls you to do. Follow his promises.
Thank you again for joining us. We want to give a special shout out to those who pour into the mission here at Hope City. If you want to give to what we're doing, you can find us at myhopecity.church/give. Again, we are so excited that you chose to join us, and we hope you have a great rest of your day.